morning again.
Good morning.
Oh, I think I came along. I'm going to try again. Good morning.
Good morning.
That's better.
Buenos días.
Buenos días. There you go. Yeah, you can say in Spanish too. I like Spanish. I'm so glad to be here and have this opportunity to share with you. It's always a blessing to share God's word, and I have to say that I get a little nervous when I'm in front of people. I've been always like this. Actually, if you know my friends from Peru, they know that I'm not very talkative, and they would say that I learned how to talk when I was around 15 years old. So I've been learning since then. I have just 19 years of experience talking to people. But it's always a blessing to be able to share what the Lord is doing. I had a few opportunities to share in my local church, and this is the second time I'm sharing in English. And so the first time was just a few months ago, and I was so nervous. And I always say that I like the pulpit because it covers my legs, and because I'm like kind of shaking. I'll have to control my legs today. So, but it's always a blessing to share what the Lord is doing. And this morning, I would like to share with you something that I've been learning my whole life in a passage that helped me to understand how the Lord was working in my life and how He made me understand what He wanted me to do. If you had told me a few years ago that I was going to be a missionary, that the Lord was going to send me to a place where most people speak in English, unless you go to Florida or California. But if you would have told me that I was going to be here serving and learning a language that is not mine, I wouldn't have believed that. The Lord was preparing me, but I didn't know where He was going to send me. And everything was new. I was scared at the beginning. I didn't know what to do. I had some times where I was discouraged because I saw that my English wasn't improving, that I got stuck, or sometimes some days that I wasn't able to speak or understand, and I felt discouraged, but the Lord has been teaching me that it's not what I can do, but what the Lord can do through me. So this morning, I want to share with you a passage that you probably have heard 1,000 times, unless you're a new believer, but it's the feeding of the 5,000. So I want to ask you for you to open your Bibles in the book of Mark, chapter 6. Mark, chapter 6. If you know where Mark is, it's between Genesis and Revelations. If you don't have a Bible, you can sit next to a Christian, too. And he can share Bible with you. So Mark chapter 6, verse 30, and we're going to read until verse 44. So I'm going to read this passage. I'm using the ESV, so maybe it's going to sound a little bit different if you are using NASB. So I'm just going to read it. If I pronounce something wrong, please forgive me. Okay, this is like a reading test for me too, and I've been practicing it, but sometimes I forget. So, but you can follow with me the scripture. So I'm gonna read it, Mark chapter 6, verse 30-44. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught, and he said to them, "Come away by yourself to a desolate place and rest a while, for many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all, and they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for taking care of us during the night and for giving us some rest. Thank you for the blessing we have to gather here freely with no restrictions. Thank you for the blessing of having communion and gather to hear your word and praise your name. And I pray, Lord, that you can talk to us this morning. I pray that you can help me to be clear. I pray that you can talk through me this morning, help this little servant, that you can teach us something. And I pray also that we can be not only listeners, but also doers of your word, that we can do what you ask us to do, and that we can also tell the gospel to other people and be a blessing, and so we can glorify your name. I pray for all the things in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, I just want to focus on 3 things that I learned and that helped me to understand what the Lord wanted for my life. And the first thing that I want to talk about is in the first verses of this chapter, when we see that people was following Jesus. This passage says that Jesus has been with people, and now they needed a little bit of rest. So he sent the disciples to the other side. But people saw that they were going there and recognized them, and they were all the other way and got there before Jesus and his disciples were there. So I was just thinking about this, and something that I remember is like when a mother has a little child, and this kid, this baby, needs her mother. So it happens a lot of times that the kid is following his or her mother all the way, all the time, and the mother doesn't have time to rest at all. So I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about these people, and it looks similar to me because these people needed Jesus, and they were following him. No matter where he was going, they were following him. And here, the verse... The verse 34 said, "When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things." So when we think about the people that doesn't have Jesus, we need to think that the Lord Jesus feel compassion for them. And they have given us the opportunity to share the gospel, the good news, to these people. And he wants all these people to be safe. So we need to feel this compassion too for the people that doesn't know Jesus and try to reach them too. So during after that happened, when Jesus was teaching them, so the hours just were passing and it was getting late, and the disciples noticed that people were hungry, and they were hungry too, because if you read the chapter earlier, Jesus sent them on a mission. They had a mission trip, and the Lord Jesus asked them not to take anything with them, no money, no food, just send them to preach the gospel of repentance. And they were healing people, and also I forgot the English word for that, echando demonios, casting out demons from people. So they were tired too, and they took one for the team. They kept doing the job because they were tired, but people were coming, so they were still working with his Lord and probably helping him while he was preaching. But it was getting late. So something that happened is that people were hungry and they didn't have food. They were in a desolate place and there were not food. So the first thing that I learned while I was reading this is that the Lord is going to show you a need. And the disciples, for them, was very clear. They saw all these people and no food. So there was a need to feed these people. And the first reaction they had was to talk to Jesus and ask him just to send them away to find food. And if we think about this, this sounds like the most logical thing to do. It's like, how am I going to feed? How are we going to feed all these people? We don't have money, we don't have food, enough food to feed them all. So they went to Jesus and told him, Lord, it's getting late, there is no food. Why don't you just send them away so they can get some food? They can go and rest you. And by the way, they didn't say that, but I guess they were also thinking, we are tired and we are hungry too. So when we see this with human eyes, it sounds logical. I mean, when you don't have the resources to do something, would you are going to try to find another solution? But I think that they forgot that they were talking to Jesus and that they were Jesus' disciples. And they forgot what they were doing not too long ago. They were healing people, casting demons out. And they didn't think about what the Lord Jesus could do about it. Their first reaction was to just get rid of the problem in the best way they could, the easiest way. And it happened to us that sometimes the Lord puts a need in front of us, and we try to do the same. We just look to the other side, or we just leave the problem to someone else that we think that could do the job better. And this is our first reaction when what we should be doing is to ask the Lord what I can do. So when we keep moving on this passage, after the Lord Jesus put that need in front of them, we see that he gave them an order. So the second thing that I learned is that the Lord is going to call you to take action and fulfill that need. If we follow the passage, the verse 37 said, "But he answered to them, you give them something to eat." Can you imagine being there and hearing these words? It would be shocking. And I think that the disciples' answers, it was a little sarcastic too. Because they said to him, Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat? That amount of money was the amount almost of a full year of work. So they were like, so are we going to get this money and buy bread? So that answer didn't have any logic too, because it, obviously they didn't have the money. So I think they were kind of being a little bit sarcastic about what the Lord just said. But what surprised me is that even when the Lord knew that they didn't have the money, they didn't have the food, they still asked them to do something. He said, give them to eat. And the Lord is going to call you to take action and fulfill that need. And my prayer is that you don't be like the disciples, that they tried to get rid of the problem, because this is something that happened to us a lot. Sometimes as a believers, when the Lord showed us that need and then he called us to do something about it, we are good at putting excuses. We are like, no, really good at it. And I include myself, because I've done this before. And sometimes I do it. But this is not what the Lord is expecting from us. Sometimes we say, no, I can't do it. That's impossible. Or maybe we say things like, Lord, I know that you need me to do this, but I have to work. I have family, 5 kids. That's a lot of work. Or maybe I'm too old. I can't do that. Or I'm too young. I don't have enough experience to do that. Or maybe I'm at school. Things like that. We are good at putting excuses before taking action when the Lord puts that need in front of us. So when the Lord does that, he's actually testing us. If we see this same passage, the same story in John chapter 6, this is one story that repeats in the four Gospels. And if we see the chapter 6 of John, I'm not going to ask you to do this, but you can read it later. You're going to find that Jesus, in chapter 6, verse 6, he was saying this to test them. It was a test, and they totally failed. So the Lord is going to do that. He's going to test you to prove your faith. Are you trusting the Lord? Are you trusting what the Lord can do? You need to remember that it's not about what you can do. It's about what the Lord can do through you. So we're good to make an excuse for not serving. But the Lord has given you gifts and talents. If you are a believer, he has given you at least one gift. At least one. Probably more than one. But at least one. And you probably have many talents too. And he's expecting you to use them. Because when you, one day, when you pass and you go to heaven, you will have to rendir cuentas. You are going to be accountable for the things that you were able to do, but you didn't. The Lord is going to ask you, I gave you this. I gave you these talents. I gave you this gift. What did you do with it? And that reminds me the parable of the talents with these three servants, and his master gave them a certain amount of talents, each one. And the first two, they work with them. They make more talents from the talents that they were given. But the third one, he did something that his master was not expecting. He was fearful, and he hid all of these talents. And when the master came and was asking for accountability, he said, I was fearful, I just hide these talents, but here you are, here you have these talents. And the master was happy about it? No, he wasn't, because he was expecting him to do something with it, because this is what the Lord is expecting you to do with your talents too. If he's going to give you something and you're not going to use it, what is that for? You're going to be accountable for that too one day. When we put our eyes in the things, we don't see things with Jesus' eyes, we're just going to see problems without understanding how great the power of God is. So I encourage you not to put excuses like this bad servant that was hiding his talents. I encourage you to use those talents too. And the third thing that I learned too is that God is not interested in how much you have to offer, but rather the condition of your heart when you give it. So first you have a need. The Lord presents you a need. The second thing, he's going to test you. He's going to ask you to do something about it. And the third thing is that God is not interested in how much you have to offer, but rather the condition of your heart when you are given. When we keep going and read the next verses, so we're going to see in verse 38, it says, "And he said to them, 'How many loaves do you have? Go and see.' And when they had found, they said, 5 and 2 fish. And they commanded them all to sit down in groups of the green grass. In John, we're going to see that the one that brought this 5 pieces of bread and 2 fish, it was a kid. And I was thinking, this food was probably his own food. He was just taking it with him just for personal, it was his personal food, his lunch, dinner. And he didn't know what the Lord was going to do with it, but he still gave that. That seems to be just a little, but the Lord had different plans, great plans for that. And what we found is that the Lord gave thanks for the food, and they started just giving the food to people, and it was enough to feed all those 5,000 men that were a lot more if you count women and children, but it was a lot more than they needed. At the end of the passage, we read that they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish, and those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. So they give abundantly, even more than they needed. And this is what I learned during my whole life, that the Lord is not expecting me to give a big amount of talents or to be the greatest preacher of all the world or the greatest musician or the greatest missionary. He's asking me to do what he has given to me. And we can see more examples of this. And two other stories that helped me to understand this better was the story of Gideon in Judges chapter 6 and 7. If you read that later, you are going to find that the Israelites were being saqueados. Do you know what that is? They were being attacked by the Midianites. And it was because of their sin. And the Lord was just allowed these other people to attack them and to take all of their food and all the things that destroyed the cities. But when they come back to him, the Lord called Gideon. And Gideon at the beginning, he was just making all these possible excuses. I'm the little one of my family. I don't have the power. I just here trying to leave and to hide what I can so I can have something to eat later. But when he realized that it was not because of him, but because of the Lord, he obeyed. And after doubting a little bit, he was asking for proof. But the Lord allowed that, and he answered those requests too. But the Lord delivered his people through him. Not because he was the greatest one, but because the Lord wanted to use him. And another story that made me understand this better was the very known story of David and Goliath in 1 Samuel chapter 17. You all know the story. There was a big giant that was threatening God's people. And there was no one that wanted to go and fight with him. But the Lord used the unexpected. There was just one guy, a random guy that nobody was expecting, that was sure that the Lord could use him to deliver his people. And do you remember what he had to do that job? He was offered an armor that was too big and heavy, and he had never had one armor on before. And he said, "Hey, I can't use that, but I know how to use the sling. And he grabbed a few stones. He grabbed 5 stones. And how many stones did he use to defeat this giant? Just 1. So while the rest of the people were afraid of him, the Lord used the little one. So that's just amazing to me. And it reminds me of my condition, because I know I'm not perfect. I know if the Lord would like someone to do the job, he could have called someone better. I'm not the best programmer in this world or the best computer guy in this world. There's probably someone that knows better than me, that can do the job better than me. But the Lord called me. And the only thing that I did was saying, "Lord, here I am, send me." And it's my prayer that you can say the same. I know that the Lord has given you talents and gifts, but he is expecting you to use them. And he's not going to ask you more than he knows that you can give. He's just asking for your heart. And he can work greatly with just a little. And maybe you don't have the money that you need to feed 5,000 people, but you can give 5 pieces of bread and 2 fish. Maybe you can turn water into wine, but well, I know you can't. But what you can do is to fill that vessel with water so the Lord can work. Maybe like David, you're not a stole, or you don't have an armor as that giant hat, but you can defeat the giant with just 1 sling and 1 stone. Because it's not about you. It's not about what you can do. It's about what the Lord can do. And maybe the Lord hasn't prepared you to be a pastor, but maybe you're good playing the guitar or singing. Or maybe you are good at talking to people and making them feel welcome. Maybe you're good at counseling. Maybe you're good at just decorating places. There is a different ways that you can serve in your church. If the Lord has called you to serve full-time, praise the Lord. Just follow that call as you walk with the Lord. And he's going to confirm that desire in your heart. But if not, don't feel like there is nothing else to do. There is a lot of work to do. I remember this verse when the Lord said that the field is ready for harvesting, but there is just a few laborers. And do you remember how long ago those words were told? I'm not going to do the math, but almost 2,000 years ago. And it's sad to hear and to see that the situation hasn't changed a lot. There's still a need for more laborers. So when you think about your calling, maybe your calling is not to go as a missionary full time. Maybe your calling is here at church, or maybe at your workplace, or the place you're going to study. But the Lord is going to call you. And when he does it, he's expecting you to take action. So don't look to the other side. Just hear the Lord's voice, obey, and don't worry about the rest, because he's the one that he's going to work through you. It's not about you, remember. It's about the Lord and what he can do through you. You're always going to have opportunities to serve, so just listen to the Lord's voice. And when he calls you, do it without fear. I was just listening to the song that the kids were singing that was really encouraging. As the pastor said, what a treat. What a treat to hear that from kids. And it's my prayer that for you these words are true too. The chorus said, I want to be faithful. And my prayer is that you can be faithful too. You don't need great things. You just need to be faithful to the Lord. And the song also said, God gives to all his children talents, both great and small. My gifts belong to Jesus. I let him use them all. And I'm going to throw under the bus the guys over there. I don't know if you can show the chorus of that song that the kids sang. And I would like us all to read those words. We're not going to sing it. You don't want to hear me singing either. But I would like for all of us to read those words. And not only to read them, but also to make those words yours. That song is also your prayer. So we're going to read all of us at the same time. Okay? 1, 2, 3. I want to be faithful. I want to be true. I want to be faithful in all that I do. We're going to read it again. Through every test, I want to be faithful. I'll give him my best. Can you stand together and we're going to read it again just one more time? And we're going to say it with conviction, knowing that this must be a true for all of us. Okay, let's read it. I'm not going to say it as hard as you can, but read it harder with conviction. Okay, 1, 2, 3. I want to be faithful. I want to be true. I want to be faithful in all that I do. I want to be faithful through every test. I want to be faithful. I'll give him my best. So you may be seated. I'm going to ask that Pastor Bernard can finish with prayer.
Thank you very much, my brother. As Brother Marco was speaking, I was reminded on the how through scripture, stories in scripture, and the history of missions that some of the greatest influencers were lay people. When Dr. Haas studied baptism in missions, he went and came back at the beginning of baptism in missions. The mission almost folded. It was a businessman who gathered the troop and said, I'll pay. And he actually became president of the mission while doing business. When William Carey went to India, a businessman called him aside and said, I'm going to pay you so much, you go where I cannot. William Carey spent 40 years in India, never came back to England. 40 years, no furloughs. And never had to worry about the funds because there were some businessmen back there taking care of that. Lay people, be it an Abraham or a David, whom the Lord calls to do his work, they are some of the greatest influencers, even much greater than those who are trained to be pastors or even missionaries. The young man we just spoke to you was trained to be a computer engineer. But there are some great lessons that he taught us this morning that he learned for his own life as a computer engineer to give himself so that his people in Peru might not only know the truth, but be strengthened in the truth. Thank you for the reminder. He taught us about priority, that our question should not, what we should be doing is to ask the Lord, what can I do? What can I do? Making yourself available. He taught us about listening, because the Lord commands, we should not be arguing with him, should we? Rather, we should be predisposed to do what he commands. How often? Isn't that what's happening in churches nowadays? People want to tell the Lord how the Lord should do his job. They claim to know better. He taught us about humble surrender, that God is not interested in how much we have to offer, but how committed our hearts are the work that he has entrusted to us. He taught us about faithfulness, that the Lord does not expect us to be big, but to be faithful with the little that he has entrusted to us. Isn't it true that ministry is not about abundance, but about obedience? Isn't that true? It's not how much you know, but how much you use of what you know for the Lord. It's not how much you have, but how much you give to the Lord of what you have. And he taught us about commitment, to follow the call of the Lord, to serve in whatever areas the Lord has gifted us. And there comes, because the scripture in the New Testament says that God has gifted every single one of his children with something. I mean, as much as I know that salvation is by faith in Jesus Christ, so do I know every single one of you has something to offer. Every single one of you. And it so happens very often, as he gave the parable of the talent, that the person to whom God has given the smallest responsibility is very often the one who refuses to take that responsibility. The one that had one talent is the one who says, "Yeah, I have better judgment than that." So he was giving a testimony of his own life. Hardly able to speak English, though you did a very good job. And I think he is faking it so that he might get his wife to be involved, you know. I'm a Haitian. By birth, certainly as an American. It was the same thing. To just answer the call, and the Lord did the rest. I do know you have a gift. Many ones. And whatever the Holy Spirit is impressing on your heart right now, why don't you pursue that? Even the gift of just being present at meetings. And if you think you don't have a gift, Josie was standing right here. And Marshall, who was standing right there, they can stand up at the last day of judgment and judge you. They are little kids who just listen to people telling them, you are going to sing, and they try to do the best they can with what they have. That's all the Christian life is about. That's all it is. That the Lord points to you, and you don't argue. And you say, Lord, I'm going to do the best that I can. We need help with the youth. And I know there are many of you who are skilled enough to help with the youth. We beg for sound and audio. I know there are many of you who can help there. And it's always the ones who have the smallest responsibility, ask of the Lord, very often they are the ones who say, no, I have a better idea. So in response, what is the Holy Spirit impressing your heart with? In a small church, we have all the things that big churches do, but we don't have all the hands to get them done. We cannot do this work without you. We can't. And I'm begging you, come help me. Help the deacons. Don't argue. Whatever gift you have and the Holy Spirit is impressing you, to you he has given it, not for you, but to use for the Lord's work. And it is an amazing thing what God can do simply with lay people. The work of the Lord is done by lay, by the saints. I am just an encourager. But the greatest work is done by you. And if you don't get involved, there is a lot that will be left undone. Brother, thank you for the encouragement.